This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة والتسليما يلقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. In continuation, seems like yesterday, but it was actually last Friday. So how quickly time is going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our time. In continuation from last week, and still attempting to answer the question, who are the Jews? We took a verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 136, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, and here it is to all the believers, قولوا, say that we believe in Allah, and that which has been revealed to us, meaning the Qur'an, and that which has been revealed to Abraham, and to Ishmael, and Isaac, and Jacob, and the tribes, wal-asbat, referring to the 12 sons of Ya'qub alayhi salam, referring to the 12 sons of Jacob, and that would of course include Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, the only one who we have yaqeen, the only one for whom we have certainty, what his name actually is. The other 11, including Binyamin, we are not exactly, we don't have yaqeen. We have, from the Israeliyat, we have what has been left behind in the teachings of Bani Israel, but we don't have certainty as to their exact names. And that which has been given to Moses and Jesus, and that which has been given to all the prophets from their Lord, we do not differentiate between any of them, meaning we accept them all as Anbiya. We accept them all as prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I gave you some of the opinions of the Atba' al-Tabi'een and some of the great scholars of Islam like Al-Imam al-Baghawi, who actually are of the opinion that the Asbat, that all 12 of the sons of Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam were actually Anbiya. The preferred opinion, the majority of scholars say that they were not Anbiya, that the only again, certainty that we have from amongst the 12 who was truly a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Nabiullah Yusuf alayhi salam. But I think it's interesting that there is a school of thought, and the scholars continue to debate it, but there is a school of thought that all 12, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that which was revealed to the Asbat, that which was revealed to the 12 and to the tribes that followed them. So we continue today to answer this question, who are the Jews? Last week we looked at the question in terms of the etymology. Where does this word Jew come from? And we found that it comes from the name of one of the 12, which is that of Yehuda. Yehuda, from where we get the Latin Judah, from where we get the anglicized Jew. So the word Jew in itself doesn't originally denote a certain religion. Originally, it was the name of one of the 12 sons of Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, who was, of course, in religion, a Muslim, somebody submitting and surrendering to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in their original declaration of faith, which is still used today, is called the Shema. You know, Arabic and Hebrew, as I've mentioned before, are sister languages. So Shema, that which is heard, As-Sama in Arabic. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, that your Lord God is Echad in Hebrew, Echad in Arabic, Ahad. Hear, O Israel, that your Lord God is one God. And so for their time, a Muslim would have been one that would have been submitting and surrendering to the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, لِكُلِّن جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. And for all of you, we have made a law and a way. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created for us this belief system of Tawheed. This belief system whereby we believe La ilaha illallah, La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah, that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Nabi Ibrahim, it would have been La ilaha illallah, Ibrahim Rasulullah. And before him, in the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, La ilaha illallah, Nuh Rasulullah. In other words, the belief system, believing in the indivisible divine unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is of course immutable, it doesn't change. Why doesn't it change? Because Allah doesn't change. لِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَ كَانَ وَلَا مَكَانَ وَهُوَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ قَبْلَ خَلْقِ الْمَكَانِ لَمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ عَمَّا كَانَ عَلِمَ مَا كَانَ وَعَلِمَ مَا يَكُونَ وَعَلِمَ مَا سَيَكُونَ وَعَلِمَ مَا لَا يَكُونُ وَلَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُونَ. Because Allah was without place, and He is as He was before place was created, and He has not changed from that which He was. He knows that which was, and He knows that which is, and He knows that which will be, and He knows that which will not be, and if it had to be, how it would be. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, because Allah doesn't change, our belief in Him does not change. So, La ilaha illallah remains the same. From the time of the first prophet of Allah, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, right up until the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only difference being that at the time of the different messengers, the belief is the same, but the law and the way might differ slightly. In the time of Nabi Nuh, the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, they called it the Noahide law. In the time of Nabi Ibrahim, the Abrahamic law. In the time of Nabi Musa, the Mosaic law, etc., etc., etc. In the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, he also brought some laws that abrogated certain laws that had been given to Bani Israel. So he would have been at the time shir'atan wa minhaja. He would be representing the law and the way. So there's almost like an evolution with the law and the way, beginning with Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and the completion, the culmination, and the perfection of the law and the way with Muhammad khairul anam salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. On this day I have completed, perfected your religion for you. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and completed my favor upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-islama deenan, and chosen for you as your way of life total submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes the two components together. The belief, which has not changed since Nabi Adam, and the law and the way, which is perfected with the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we looked at the origin of this word Jew, going back to Judah, going back to Yehuda. And then just for us to understand, to open our eyes a little bit, to see the bigger picture, I even took the origin of the word Arab. I'm speaking English now. Arab. In Arabic we would say Arab. Bil'ain. Arab. So sa'iyya. Batik bak and ipan. A'ain. And we found that Arab goes back to Ya'ruba ibn Qahtan. Qahtan, who is the father of the Arabs. And we looked at the two lineages, if you remember. The lineage of Yehuda and the lineage of Ya'ruba. And the lineage of Yehuda, Yehuda the son of Ya'qub, Jacob the son of Ishaq, Isaac the son of Ibrahim, Abraham the son of Tarah, which is Azar in the Holy Quran. Nahur, Saruq, Ra'u, Falagh. And then from Ya'ruba, Ya'ruba ibn Qahtan, and Qahtan being the brother of Falagh. So when we go back to the, right to the origin of the original Arabs, Al-Arab Al-Ariba, Al-Qahtaniyun, and the origin of Yehuda via Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, we find they meet at this individual known as Abir, who is Nabi Hud alayhi salam, according to the genealogists. This is the most correct opinion. Aibar or Abir is Nabi Hud alayhi salam. Nabi Hud, the son of Shalach, the son of Arfakhshad, the son of Sam, the son of Nuh. And that's where the word Semite comes from. Because they all go back to, they meet at Abir, and then they go back to Sam, going back to Nuh alayhi salam, where we get the word Semite. So that's why I always say it is impossible for anybody to accuse an Arab of being anti-Semitic, because he is just as Semitic as what a Jew is in terms of ethnicity. We're speaking about ethnicity now. And I think it's important at this junction for us to open our eyes even further. And we are so conditioned, either in terms of the way that we've been brought up. My wife always says that racism is not in the heart, it's in the home. Because if you see our children play together when they are very small, you know, they will play with anybody, of any color, of any tribe, of any nation. But when they grow up and they have been conditioned in a certain way, that is when you see their prejudice start surfacing and manifesting its ugly face in society. So we are so conditioned, either by how we have been grown up in the societies that we were raised, in terms of geopolitical events that have taken place, that we become very narrow-minded. Even in this age of technology, where you can literally Google anything at any time, anywhere. I mean, la samahallah, if somebody wanted to look up something in the Baytul Khala, they could do it. I'm not encouraging you, please put your phones off when you're going to the toilet. But somebody could do it. Any place, any time, anywhere. Information. We live in the information age. But yet people still seem to be so narrow-minded. And from an Islamic perspective, if we think about anthropology, if we think about the origin of man from an Islamic perspective, from a religious perspective, even the Christians and the Jews do likewise, then we find ourselves actually uniting under this name of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, under the name of the Prophet Noah, peace be upon him. And in fact, the entire mankind finds itself united under the banner of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states very clearly in the Holy Quran, and this is the position of the scholars of Islam, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. And we made his progeny the only survivors. Nabi Nuh, as it is narrated, had four sons. One of them drowned. قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَأْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. When he said to his father, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, and who is this? Yam, or otherwise known as Kana'an. Kana'an, that was the fourth son, or Yam. He said, I will go to the mountain that will save me from the water of the flood. And Nabi Nuh said, there is no escape from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you disbelieve, you're going to be destroyed. And as it ended up, فَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا مَوْجٌ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And a wave came in between them, and he was of those that were drowned. Kana'an. Whereas the other three survived. And as we believe, the entire mankind finds itself returning back to this father of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Either via Sam, Ham, or Yafith. Isn't that just wonderful, just thinking about it? I mean, yes, we all believe that we all go back to Nabi Adam alayhi salam, but we also all go back to Nabi Nuh, and we all go back to Sheeth, and we all go back to Adam. وَكُلُّكُمْ مِنْ آدَمُ وَآدَمُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. And all of you are from Adam, and Adam is from dust. So in the bigger picture, when we look at Sam, Ham, and Yafith, we find that from their children, and again, this is something that is recorded, some scripturally, some archaeologically, some in the language. It's amazing how much information is stored in words. It's amazing how much information is stored in words. And that's what we've been doing here, looking at these words, Jew and Arab, and finding this common ancestry. Before we even get into the whole discussion, topic and debate of religion. So I want us just to look very briefly at these three. Sam, Ham, and Yafith. Sam is where all the Semitic peoples come from. And if we look on a map, you will see Al-Jazeera Al-Arabiya. You will see, which is the Arabian Peninsula. You will see Northeast Africa, and you will see the area of the southeastern part of the Mediterranean. And that's literally how the three were split up. Because most of the children of Sam settled in the area of Sham, which is where the name Sam, or where the name Sham actually comes from. If you are in anywhere in Syria, and you say to the taxi driver, Nazilna and Nazil al Sham, are you going to Sham? It means Damascus. In fact, Damascus is the oldest continuously inhabited capital city in the world. And it comes from the name Sam. That is where his progeny settled, in the area of Sham and the western coast of the Arabian Peninsula. I've mentioned one of his children so far, and that is Arfakhshad, which is the ancestor of both Yahuda and Ya'ruba, of both the Jews and the Arabs. Yahuda via Ibrahim and Ya'ruba via Qahtan. Some of his other children is Aram, the children of Sam, Aram, where we get Aramia, the Aramaic language. Aramia, also one of the sister languages of Arabic. We have Arabic, Arabia, Hebrew, Ibriya, Aramaic, Aramia, and Syriania, which is Syriac. These are the main Semitic languages. Then we have Ashur, also one of the children of Sam, where we get the Ad-Dawla al-Ashuriyya, the Assyrian civilization. They stem from Ashur, Ilan, and Lawith. Ham, on the other hand, we have Kush, where we get the Kushtic Empire, which was the first major African empire. In fact, it is said that the Sudanese people descend from Kush. The Somalians as well, in fact, descend from both Sam and Ham. They descend via Ham, the Somalians. Their ancestors came over from the Arabian Peninsula and they married the Oromo people, which were in so-called modern-day Ethiopia. And they come from the ancient Kushtic Empire. The Misraim, which is the origin of the Egyptians, Fut, and then Canaan. What is very interesting is that Canaan, the son of Ham, he went to settle in what is modern-day Palestine. Canaan went to settle in modern-day Palestine. Now, you're always hearing about this claim to land because of what nation or what tribe that we might belong to, that we might subscribe to. And this is a false notion, especially when it comes to the land of Palestine. The land of Palestine is the promised land, promised to a believing people. So in other words, if you want to qualify for that land, you need to qualify in terms of your belief. Not in terms of whether you come from Canaan or whether your ancestors were the Philistines, as it is mentioned in the Bible, the Philistines. The first people to inhabit the land of Palestine were actually the Canaanites, Al-Kana'aniyun. In fact, that's where the name Jerusalem actually comes from. Ur-Shalem, which is Aramaic for Darussalam, the abode of peace, Jerusalem. Amazing, a lot of people didn't know that. So we've got two Jerusalems, one in Tanzania, Darussalam, and one in Palestine, Beit al-Maqdis, Ur-Shalem. It's actually a Canaanite word, a Canaanite word. The Canaanite languages, Aramaic, and that's why Nabi Ibrahim spoke Aramaic. Nabi Ibrahim was born where? He was born in a place called Ur in Mesopotamia, during the time of the Sumerians. And he spoke the Sumerian language, a Semitic language very similar to Arabic. But when he went to Canaan, he spoke Aramaic, the language of the Canaaniyin. So it doesn't matter, and I keep alluding to this point, it doesn't matter whether you belong to a certain nation or a certain tribe, whether your lineage goes back to Yahuda or whether it goes back to Ya'ruba, you know, whether your ancestors were the Canaanites or the Philistines, it doesn't matter. When it comes to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is Allah is going to judge us on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. And He's made you into many different nations and tribes. Indeed, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is the one who has the most piety or righteousness in their hearts. So what you find very interesting is that we have the Canaaniyun first settling in that area, and then we find many generations later the Philistines, who were a seaworthy people. They were a people living in the area of the Hittite kingdom, which had a relation with southern Greece as well as with some of the offspring or progeny of Ham, that they came there at a much later stage. And the Philistines, they were there in that region until eventually when Bani Israel rocked up with Yusha bin Nun. Yusha bin Nun was the right man, the right-hand man of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa died in the desert, and Yusha bin Nun, it was his task to take Bani Israel into the promised land. At that time, Bani Israel, they were the Muslimun. The Philistines, they were the disbelievers. So if you and I were sitting at the battle between Dawood and Jalut, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, and Jalut, Goliath, David and Goliath, on whose side would we have been? Jalut was a Philistine. He was a Philistine. And Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, kana musliman, Nabiullah alayhi salam. So on whose side would we have been? We would have been on the side of Bani Israel. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm saying in terms of ethnicity, in terms of tribe, in terms of nation, what is the deciding factor at the end of the day? Who is a believer or not? Who is a believer or not? The land has been promised to the believers, not to a certain nation, not to a certain tribe, not to those that descend from Ya'ruba or descend from Yehuda. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it has been promised to a believing nation. At that time, Bani Israel, they were the believing nation. What are they today? What are they today? Who are the Jews? Who are the Jews? So last week we looked at the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about the Jews using different terminology in the Holy Quran. The one in the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 136, he refers to the 12 tribes as Al-Asbat. And this word has been used 4 times in the Quran, Al-Asbat, meaning the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel, Bani Israel, and one as Asbatan, without the Alif and Lam. They have been referred to as Bani Israel 69 times in the Holy Quran. They have been referred to as Ahlul Kitab 31 times. Remember, Ahlul Kitab includes Al-Yahud and Nasara. Al-Yahud and Nasara are included in the title Ahlul Kitab. They have been referred to as Alladhina Hadu. Alladhina Hadu. Look, the asl of Hadu is Tabu, those that repented. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alladhina Hadu, He's referring to Al-Yahud. Al-Yahud. And then as Hudan, 3 times. So Alladhina Hadu, 10 times. Hudan, 3 times. Al-Yahud, 7 times. Bani Israel, 69 times. Ahl Kitab, 31 times. The Quran is speaking a lot about these people. There must be some ibrah. There must be some moral in this for us. Certainly. But now comes the main question. Because I've mentioned Bani Israel, and I've mentioned the Yahud. Al-Yahud. What is the difference between the two? What is the difference between Bani Israel and Al-Yahud? Now this is one of the miraculous natures of the Quran. The Quran is very accurate. Historically. Remember, there can be no contradiction in the Quran. لَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it had been from anybody but Allah, you would have found much contradiction therein. But it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there is no contradiction. When does Allah refer to them as Bani Israel, and when does He refer to them as Al-Yahud? And are they exactly the same people? I did make mention last week that just like every tahajjud salah is a qiyamul layl, but not every qiyamul layl is salatul tahajjud. Remember I mentioned that? You understand that concept? Right. Every Yahudi, maybe not in terms of the exact definition in the 21st century, but traditionally, As we have it in the Quran, the word al-Yahud, every time it is mentioned, it is speaking about a part of Bani Israel. But not every time Bani Israel is being mentioned, does it only mean the Yahud? Does it only mean al-Yahud? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. And that is when Nabi Isa is speaking to them. Sometimes it does. Bani Israel can mean al-Yahud when Nabi Isa is speaking to them, alayhi salam. But al-Yahud certainly doesn't refer to all of Bani Israel. Why? Because al-Yahud is only referring to one tribe of the 12 tribes. So where does the split come? Where does this differentiation? And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about Bani Israel as a nation that sometimes believed and sometimes disbelieved? Or that a group from amongst them believed and a group from amongst them disbelieved? And a group from amongst them transgressed, and a group from amongst them disobeyed, and a group from amongst them killed the prophets of Allah. He makes that differentiation. But when he speaks about al-Yahud, he doesn't speak about them as believers. He speaks about them as transgressors. Why? The reason is because of an historical event, and that is the invasion and destruction of Bayt al-Maqdis and Masjid al-Aqsa. I have mentioned this before. I don't like to use the terminology of First Temple and Second Temple. I don't know where this comes from. In terms of us as Muslimin, there is Al-Kaaba, Al-Musharrafa in Makkah al-Mukarrama, and there is Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. According to the most authentic narrations, who built them? Nabi Adam alayhi salam. First he built the Kaaba, and 40 years later he built Masjid al-Aqsa. The Kaaba was destroyed in the flood and rebuilt by Nabi Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. Whereas Masjid al-Aqsa was renovated by Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. So this idea that Nabi Sulaiman built a temple on the sea, or that we are arguing that whatever Nabi Sulaiman built is not here on the mount, that it is somewhere else. I mean, this is a ludicrous, completely futile exercise. Nabi Sulaiman kana nabiyan wa rasula. He was a prophet and messenger of Allah. What's he building temples on the sea for? He renovated the masjid, the house of Allah, that he inherited from his father, in terms of that position of implementing the sovereignty of Allah on earth, his father Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. But whenever I tell the story of Sayyidina Umar and his justice, I always include one story I heard once from a khutbah of Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kishk rahimahullah ta'ala, when in the time of Sayyidina Umar, when he was the Khalifa and he wanted to extend Masjid al-Aqsa, he would have had to include one of the houses of, or he had to, would have had to include the house of Abbas, the uncle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he had to get a qadi in order to rule between them. And it was Qadi Shurayh, a famous qadi in Hijaz. But instead of them summoning the qadi, they went to the qadi, Sayyidina Umar and Abbas. Because Sayyidina Umar said, إِنَّ الْقَضَى لَا يَأْتِي وَلَكِنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. Judgment doesn't come to you, you must go to the judgment. Just showing the justice and the humility of Sayyidina Umar. So they went to the Qadi and they gave their cases. And the Qadi eventually ruled in the favor of Abbas that it was not permissible for Sayyidina Umar to include the house of Abbas in the extension of the Haram. Where? In Makkah. And what was the reason? Qadi Shurayh said that it has come to my knowledge that in the time of Nabiullah Dawood alayhi salam, when he wanted to extend the haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, Inna aba'ad al-bayuti an al-harami bayti. He wanted to extend the haram and include some of the houses of the shepherds in the extension. So Allah revealed to him that indeed the furthest house from my haram, meaning Masjid al-Aqsa, is part of my house already. So he didn't need to destroy those houses of the shepherds. But in the time of Nabi Sulaiman, the extension went ahead. In the time of Nabi Sulaiman, the extension went ahead. So if you can imagine, and here I'm going to say something that you probably never heard before in terms of the terminology. But you know, semantics is something, subhanAllah, what gets lost in translation is a science all on its own. But that first kingdom, وَآتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا, we gave to the family of Abraham a great kingdom. Allah gave them a kingdom. Yes, it was a kingdom. I call it the Islamic kingdom of Israel. It was the Islamic kingdom, not the illegitimate Zionist state of Israel. Don't get confused. Don't get confused. Nabi Allah Dawood alayhi salam and Nabi Allah Sulaiman alayhi salam, they were of the greatest human beings to have walked the face of this earth. The prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the mulk, the kingdom that Allah established for them in their promised land, promised to a believing nation, promised to Muslimin, the fact that they were from Bani Israel is irrelevant. But they were Muslimun. That is what counts. They were a believing nation. And so the first king of that Islamic kingdom in the promised land was of course Talut, Saul, who then gave it over, or it was then received by Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, who then gave it over to Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. But when Nabi Sulaiman died alayhi salam, then the kingdom split up into two. And what happened was, there were the 10 tribes were based in the north and 2 tribes in the south. The north, which is now has broken away after the death of Nabi Sulaiman, his son Rehoboam, the northern kingdom didn't want to be ruled by him. So what happened was, they broke away and established their own kingdom. And in the south, you had basically 2 tribes. The tribe of Yehuda and the tribe of Binyamin. And some of the people belonging to the tribe of Shimeon and Levi. And the rest of the 10 tribes were in the north. I said only some of the tribe of Shimeon and Levi. The rest of Shimeon and Levi were in the north with the other 8 tribes. Until the Assyrians came in the year 722 BC. And literally took the whole 10 tribes and dispersed them. Sold them into slavery. That was in 722. And so now who dominates in the Holy Land? It is the tribe of Yehuda. Binyamin didn't feature. Although he was there, not him, but his tribe. The tribe of Yehuda or Judah, as they call it in Latin. And now coming to the anglicized Jew, that is where the word comes from. But it was the tribe of Judah that now dominated in the southern region. Until Nebuchadnezzar came in 587 BC. And he utterly destroyed Bayt al-Maqdis and Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah speaks about this in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in Surah al-Isra. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm just looking at my time, my time is up again, subhanAllah. But inshallah ta'ala, now we will continue next week inshallah. Next week inshallah, I'm going to take you to that. Because Allah, and this is why I'm saying, you know, we are all confused. Geopolitically, we are all confused. Yet the answers are here in the Quran. Just go to Surah Al-Isra, if I can give you some homework. Read through Surah Al-Isra, at least the first 2 pages of Surah Al-Isra. With a translation for those of you who don't understand Arabic. And this is where the separation between traditionally what is known as Bani Israel and Al-Yahud takes place. When Nebuchadnezzar, after destroying Bayt al-Maqdis and Masjid al-Aqsa, took the whole tribe of the whole tribe of Yehuda, Al-Yahud, took them to Babylon, to Iraq with him for 50 years. When they come back, it's almost like they've assumed a new title, and that is the title of Al-Yahud, with different sects, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essene community, and the Zealots. Yes, some of them are still believers. Others are disbelieving. Others are transgressing. Others are killing prophets. This is something that has been going right throughout the history of Bani Israel. But inshallah, we'll leave it till next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa rizuqna tiba'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show us the truth of the truth and make us followers thereof. And show us the falsehood of the falsehood and make us abstainers thereof. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, guide our hujjaj in their preparation for the Hajj of 1439. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them all safely, grant them all a Hajj mabrura, and return them all safely back to their loved ones. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. I hope this letter reaches you.